From the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., this is Update One, the club's official podcast. It features newsworthy stories originating from the NPC facilities, as well as broader topics related to journalism, communications, press freedom, and transparency.
I'm Adam Cano here in Colorado Springs at the Space Symposium, an annual industry-focused event hosted by the nonprofit Space Foundation. My guest today is Rich Cooper, the foundation's Vice President for Strategic Communication. Rich, welcome to Update One.
Adam, thank you very much. Honored and happy to be part of the conversation.
Let's start with the Space Foundation. What is it and who are your members?
Space Foundation was started in 1983. And when it started here in Colorado Springs, there were a number of senior and retired military leaders that saw the growing need for industry and military and government to really start talking to each other about what was happening in space. So again, it's the early 80s, the shuttle's taking off, President Reagan's talking about the Strategic Defense Initiative, we're launching the space shuttle, we're talking about future space stations, so space is starting to get hot. And when they started that symposium here at the Broadmoor, what that one meeting became what is now the premier gathering of the global space ecosystem. Every one of those meetings started to bring more and more of the respective space participants and players and proxies all to the table. And what started as what was the then National Space Symposium became just Space Symposium, because space is international. There are now over 90 countries operating in space today, but that has grown dramatically over the past couple decades. So our members are a lot of those companies that people know by name. Certainly, you know, the Lockheed Martins, the Northrop Grumman's, the L3 Harris, all of those particular types of companies. But then there are a lot of other emerging companies that are coming into this arena. And what's great about that is every symposium you come to, you get to see, you certainly get to see the established brands, but then you get to see the new entrants. And you start to see how those new entrants and those established brands start to connect with each other to recognize, hey, you may have the missing piece of the puzzle that I need for this mission. So you start to see those relationships. So at Space Foundation, we very much want to work to advance the global space ecosystem by inspiring and connecting people together, because when you do those things, great things happen.
Yeah, and I want to talk more about the symposium itself, obviously, shortly, but a little more about how the change in the space industry ecosystem, especially over the last decade, decade and a half, with these new companies coming in, what has that meant for the foundation, that it's not just those sort of household names that a lot of people may be familiar with, the traditional prime contractors, but an entire new ecosystem of disruptors and other startups?
Well, this is what I think is really important, and what we at Space Foundation have been very privileged to do is starting to help people understand this thing called the global space economy. Today, we have measured the 2024 global space economy number was $618 billion. And over 70% of that, in fact, 78% of that is commercial. And so that remaining 22 is government. And what do you mean? Why is commercial bigger than government? Well, because of the services that they're providing and the how they're embedded within our infrastructure. Again, you go to an ATM, you put your card in, and you want to make sure it's a secure financial transaction. Well, you're going to have that relayed through a satellite in order to make sure that it's protected. If you're going to call a family member, I mean, if you're one of these families that has a service member in the military service and, you know, you can connect with them again, that's being routed by satellite. Oh, by the way, that Amazon package that comes to, oh, there's this thing called supply chain. So space is in everybody's life. And one of the things we at Space Foundation have the opportunity to do is talk about that larger space story.
How many exhibitors for this year for the symposium, and how many journalists roughly?
This year, we have three very full exhibit halls. We have 343 different exhibitors, and those are everything from the 10 by 10 booths to literally outside exhibits that are on patios, like the Firefly Aerospace Blue, their lunar lander. Then again, the Australians have also put up their own, I will say, their own continent here at Colorado Springs, where they have their own pavilion, where they brought military, government, and commercial companies. This is where, when you see these 343 different exhibitors, it becomes an Epcot of space. you're able to see, oh, well, there are the Brits, there are the Canadians, there's the Japanese. Oh, the Swiss, Liechtenstein is over there. Who knew? And again, you start to see all of the different military uniforms and the different languages, and you start to see a large, cohesive, networked group of people that are all looking to what can we do now, what can we do better, and what do we have to be looking out for next? And one of the great powers that Space Symposium has is its ability to convene these people together. And when you assemble a program like that, that certainly has its challenges because everybody has their own favorite issue. So it becomes a balance that you look to make sure you are showcasing the issues that are important to government and industry and investment and military. But you start to see all the people who are living in those environments. And when you go through our exhibit hall, you see that. In terms of media, the last number I saw, I think, was over 160 different accredited media coming here. That is certainly the trade press, but that is also the marquee name types of presses. Your Reuters, your Bloomberg's, your Wall Street Journals. And then you start to see some of these specialty types of trade publications, whether they are in 3D printing or they may be involved with some particular physics type of aspect. And what's been really interesting and what we're very proud of is the growth of the business media presence here. Yes, space involves a lot of science, it involves a lot of technology, but it also involves a lot of business. And it is business that is driving today's commercial space marketplace, and it's driving the larger ecosystem, and that's good for everybody.
What do you think is the attraction for these journalists? Obviously, it depends whether they're a mainstream outlet or a trade, but what do you hear from them in terms of what brings them here and then what keeps them coming year after year?
It comes down to access. They can, in this, and it's not just the journalists, it is the other civil space agencies, it is the other company leaders, that they literally can go around the world in one location without having to be racing through an airport. Now again, it's always great to get your passport stamped, it's always great to see a new place, but if you can literally go from Canada to Japan in a half hour of meeting, wouldn't you want to do something like that? We have that opportunity here with Space Symposium, and that is why you have the number of companies and the number of countries that are coming here to literally connect, inspire, and build those relationships that can make the difference to their incomes, their missions, whatever those might be.
I have to ask, on the international side, we're in a time of some pretty dynamic geopolitics.
Right.
Even among our traditional allies, there's been some tough conversations, and yet I still see most of those countries here. So what does that say?
Relationships matter. And yes, there are this is certainly a tense time in a lot of different ways, but you are having people that have come here that have built relationships over decades, and that they know that they can look one another in the eye and have conversations that they need to have, but also how do they navigate what can be any type of different environment? And the space environment is always evolving. And it's great that different countries are building their own sovereign capabilities. That's in their best interest as it is in our interest as allies. When we can build those types of architectures and infrastructures and relationships, it becomes a much stronger ecosystem. And in an arena that has as many threats and as many different actors that can literally cause very severe disruption, you want to have all those things. So relationships matter.
This is day two, I guess, of the show.
Actually, it's probably about day three.
Day three,
things
okay.
Started on Sunday afternoon. And this is one of these things that we have learned over time that, again, there's only so many hours in the day. But if we can expand the program a little bit at the beginning and try to add something else to the end, we want to do that because people want to have these conversations. We know people can't be here the entire time. We understand, we respect that. But when anybody comes here, Space Symposium is an investment. It is an investment of your time. It is an investment of resources. It is an investment in the relationships that you have already had, but the ones that you're going to forge. And that is why coming here, we believe, is the best investment someone can make if you're going to be in the space community. Because again, if you can go from Japan to Canada in 30 minutes after talking to one another, let alone going over and talking to a new company who has just come up with a new system that will, you know, further enable small sats or CubeSats, whatever that might be, and you can do all that in 1 week, That's a pretty intense week, but it's also a week that provides value and ripple far beyond the week, and it goes all year long.
I wanted to ask, I mean, obviously you see a lot of what's on the show floor, but also what happens in this broader ecosystem. And from a communications perspective, whether it's on the military side or the commercial side, something you've seen, I'm not asking you to pick a favorite child, but just something you've seen in the evolution of communications to make folks understand better, you know, what this industry means, not just to the immediate folks who play in it, but to broader society at large.
There are two real drivers to this, and they are absolutely complementary and conflicting to each other. And that has everything to do with social media and smartphones. And the fact that you have so many people that can record and share and document what they like, what they don't like, what they see, what they don't see, what they want to see. Companies recognize that if they want to be in people's companies and countries and agencies, whomever they might be, you are going to be your best ambassador of your brand if you are going to lean forward in the use of the social media tools and how you are presented literally on a handheld screen to a lot of different people. One of the things I think that NASA has always been sort of that bellwether on for advertising and brand
and everything. And so when you think of Apollo, yes, it was the Life magazine, but it was all sort of apple pie and cherry pie and apple pie, all the rest of it. Everything was fine and wonderful. We know it wasn't really like that because of all the other history that's come out. But here you have astronauts and flight directors and other engineers who are very forward-leaning in this, and they're sharing their challenges, they're sharing their setbacks, they're sharing their failures, they're sharing their successes. They're taking you along for the ride. As a communicator, does that have risk? Yeah, it has a lot of risk, but it also offers a transparency and an understanding and builds an emotional relationship between people and brands and companies. And when you can do something like that, it enables, I would say, consumers and citizens to better understand what's going out there and how they or their children or however they may personally want to participate in that or not. And that's what I think has been incredible to watch, how strong these companies have really leaned forward. And I think they all recognize if you're not doing it, you're not being talked about. And if you're not being talked about, no one knows who you are, what your story is. Here you can at least craft your story with communicators of all different styles, and you're going to be better off for it.
A great message for the communicator members of the National Press Club. To bring it back around and end on the journalism side, what have you seen in terms of the evolution? I mean, especially in the last couple of years here, what are you hearing from the journalists about what they need and the kind of reportage they're looking to do?
Journalists are always going to want one particular thing: access. And with the space community, you know, there certainly are a number of leaders, certainly within the military and government, as well as I'll say commercially, that are providing some of that access. But they're also being much more tactical about the access. And that is certainly controlling message and controlling brand. And those are good things. It also makes sure that you're disciplined so that when someone sees your company or your mission, they have a very clear understanding of what you're doing. And if you can train the scientists and engineers and the other technologists that you have in the company, again, they can fly your washing machine backwards on the planet of your choice. But if they can't tell you why it's a good thing to do, then you've got a problem. Being able to answer the why is absolutely critical. And that has to be the first question that anyone who's going to communicate about what's happening here in space or anything has to answer. Yes, you will always hear people saying, why are we spending all this money in space when we have problems here on Earth? Yes, we have lots of problems here on Earth. Do you know how space can help contribute to solutions that are happening here on Earth? How space helps contribute to better precision agriculture so that less pesticides or water can be used to increase a yield? Or how satellites are giving you a warning that there's an earthquake or a tsunami or a volcano or a hurricane? All of those particular types of things. Oh, by the way, all the other communications that we're dependent on so that we can track whatever the Amazon package is. All of those things
are things that space is directly tied to and provides value added for consumers, citizens across the board. This is where companies as well as countries really are leaning forward on the why. And you've seen that happen very forcefully with Jared Isaacman and the NASA team on Artemis II. Yes, he came in and inherited the Artemis II mission and what it was going to do, but he has already very clearly articulated how Artemis III and IV are going to be very different from what they were before. And the reasons why behind that, he's been very clear. There's been no fog there. And that is why I think Isaacman is having the tremendous success that he is at the agency, and it bodes well for NASA's future.
Rich, thank you so much.
Adam, this is fun. Always happy to sit down and talk to you. Thanks for coming to Symposium.
Rich Cooper is Vice President of Strategic Communications for the Space Foundation for Update One in Colorado Springs. I'm Adam Cano.
You have been listening to Update One, the official podcast of the National Press Club, the world's leading professional organization for journalists and a vigorous advocate of press freedom worldwide. If you have any questions or comments about Update One, send an email to updateonepodcast@gmail.com.